Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat a bit about what is happening up in the stars above today. Hold on, totally forgot to silence my phone. I'm just finding out, of course, that one of my grandkids has the flu, and we were all together this weekend at a party. So, poor kid, and hopefully nobody else catches it. And, you know, it's that time of year, I guess we could just say, when the flu is out and about. It's part of our reality. But it doesn't have to be. So let's create healing on the planet, right? Let's see. Good morning, Amy Moore. Great to see you. And I'm sorry I was a little bit late here this morning, but you know, those time changes, do they just like send you guys crazy, wonky, and get your energy all in a twist? Like this morning, I was awake at 5 a.m. And who wants to be awake at 5 a.m.? It's dark, it's cold. So I tried to go back to sleep and I just laid there and I was thinking about thinking. What else do you think about at 5 a.m., right? And then I just started feeling this surge of energy through me and I went, okay, you're getting up. So a little bit after six, finally, I get up and I've just been on the go. I have gotten so much done this morning and crazy, right? Some days you're just busy and other days it's just not that way. So if you're just joining me this morning, good morning. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know we did. My grandson's football team won their game. They're going to the Super Bowl for youth football. That'll be this coming Saturday. And it was amazing, amazing because the refs, of course, they had to play against the refs as well as the team. And I don't know what's going on with the refs in this particular league. They just seem to not like Cedra Woolley's team. And so they make things difficult for the kids. But the kids rose to the occasion. They never stopped believing and they won. And then, of course, we had a pool party, birthday party for my grandson, who is the one that now has the flu. but we had fun. It was very busy. And I just love the weekends when they're, you know, like this, where we can, you know, come together for common things and enjoy one another's company. So I hope for all of you, you also enjoyed your weekend. Let's take a look at what we have for this week. So I was trying to think this morning of a theme for the week, because the energies themselves, there's a lot of subtlety going on in the field and some not so subtle energies going on in the field for the whole month of November. But, you know, even starting this week, there's a couple of overt things that are in your face that we're going to see up front and, you know, personal or in the collective. And then there's nothing major that would make you go, oh God, watch out for this. We know that Mercury is retrograde, so that's moving through the background. We know that we have Saturn and Pluto getting ready, inching ever closer to their conjunction, and that planets moving through Aries or Libra or Cancer or Capricorn are going to be triggering more and more of that destruction, reconstruction energy. So some things, like I said, they're kind of subtle. I mean, it's going on in the background. We know it's there. But it's not really, you know, affecting us as individuals, perhaps. But maybe for some of you, it is. And really, that goes to the way that your chart, your human design, as well as your astrology, as well as how your gene keys are playing out for you. And, you know, there are as many different charts out there as there are people, right? So it's going to be hard for me to say definitively, this is how this is going to play out. So what I'm going to be giving you are the general terms, right? The general, the big picture, big signposts along the way. And then I hope for each of you as individuals, if you start to struggle through your week or you struggle through what's happening out there in the world, that you will reach out to an astrologer or you'll reach out to someone who does human design. If you want to reach out to me, I would be happy to help you. But if not, reach out to someone else, but reach out. Don't hold all of this in because there's so much that could be going on from underneath everything up through, you know, as it rises to the surface and what do you do with it once it manifests. So while I'm going to tell you this looks to be a very good week, there are a few things that we might want to watch out for. One we start the week, of course, with the moon in Aquarius. And I always like to think of the energy that starts the week really holds sway for the whole of the week. So we have this ideal of ideals, right? What's the ideal? And can we do things in new and fringy or quirky ways? Can we look upside down and see how maybe things would look differently? Can we flip around a problem, tip it up on its head, and see if there is a different way that a different solution perhaps to some of the problems that we are experiencing in our lives or experiencing in our society or our communities, tribes, etc. So I love it when the moon is in Aquarius because it does give us that access. Now, does that mean it's easy? I guess it depends on how you look at it, right? If you look at it as, I have an opportunity to see things differently, to do things in a new way, to be flexible, then it could be really good. But if you're stuck in a pattern, that pattern may be screeching right to a halt in front of your face for you to take a look at and to deal with, to work through. So yay, right? So we know, let me just give you a reminder of what the moon represents in your chart. The moon represents the moods and emotional energy that you are carrying. It is the representation of your instincts born from millennia of being a human on this planet. Maybe not you personally as a human right in this moment, but humanity as an animal or a creature on this planet. And the soul is also represented here. The soul of you as an individual, it represents the mothering energy, nurturing, instinctual, caretaking energy. And in Aquarius, then that energy takes on a new face, right? It's like it changes a mask or it changes a costume. And in Aquarius, we have that seeing new solutions to old problems kind of energy, as well as the quirky, inventive, genius sort of energy. So I really do love the energy of the moon in Aquarius. It doesn't always go so easily, but I don't see any major sticking points. Now we do have today the sun in a square to the moon. That means we've come to the first quarter moon, right? The first 7 days into the new moon cycle that began with the new moon a week ago. And that means that we call this part, this point in the cycle, the crisis of action. It is the crisis of action because some form of tension or crisis or drama may erupt out of the field for no reason whatsoever that you can put your finger on, but there it is. And it may disrupt or put a tension around what it is that you're trying to manifest or what it is that you set as an intention back a week ago in the new moon that you're trying to express now. So there may be obstacles, there may be outer world resistance, there may be something that pops up that you interpret as something that means that you can't have what you want. It may be that there's a change or a disruption in your plans, your goals, or your ideas. Whatever it is, the sun squaring the moon brings that up so that you can be ready with new ideas or with being able to see with the moon in Aquarius, seeing a way around it, seeing a new way to express that energy. So while we have that sun in Scorpio, moon in Aquarius, that is a square, 90 degree, a challenge, it motivates us, right? The squares motivate us to make a change or to do something. In other words, we're trying to break the tension. So to break the tension, we often have to do something. And what is it that you're going to do to break that tension? And I would say, rather than reacting to the tension, respond, right? We want to respond to what is showing up in our outer world. So I hope that helps everybody as far as what's the moon and the sun are up to. Everybody's checking in now. We have Kristen and Colleen and Latricia and Asa and Laura. Good morning to you all. Christine Erickson. And she says, hello, hope you had a nice weekend. We did. Thank you very much. Same to you. Linda, good morning. Debbie Hedden, good morning. And Colleen checks in and says, good morning. So it's great to see everybody there. And I hope you all had, like I said, a wonderful weekend, at least maybe some time to relax, to sit down and enjoy. I also had a football game yesterday, the Seahawks. And oh my gosh, talk about a nail biter, right? Sometimes football can be the source of more anxiety for me than anything else in my life. But yesterday, they ended up victorious. They stood the test of the obstacles, of the challenges, of the resistance to their plans and their ideas and their goals, and they won. So you too, right, can stand the test of those obstacles and win in your own life. Although I would say it's not really about winning or losing in terms of your life. It's more about success and being able to learn something and to evolve. Now, likewise today, the moon is also in a trine to Mars. Recall, a trine is a 120 degree angle. It evokes a sort of flow or smoothness between the energies of the two planets. In this case, the planet Mars, action and dynamic forward motion, maybe even assertiveness or aggressiveness on the other end. It's very masculine energy, very young energy. And it is in a trine to the moon, also in a sign that does like to take action, but Uranus is the ruler in that place. And so sometimes the action isn't exactly what you thought it was going to be. So the direction that you take, maybe something new, maybe I'm going to try this and see how it works. And yay, if it does. And if it doesn't, well, that's one more way I know not to create the light bulb, right? So a trine to Mars in Libra is energy to do, but we may waffle a bit because Mars in Libra is in a sign that likes to see all sides of something before it takes action, before it actually makes a move. And that energy to do isn't so happy in that energy of waffling. So there could be this little bit of irritation developing between the confrontation of Mars wanting to go, 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 and the moon in the sign of Aquarius that's a little bit more, let's go in this direction. Mars wants to go that way. Moon wants to go that way. Interesting sort of energies today that way. Here's where a lot of the things that we've been talking about comes into play. Because if you think and act in response, but in an outside of the box way, i.e. being more flexible, you may find that today works right nicely for you, real smooth. But for those of you who are still in resistance, it may be a little more difficult, right? As you're kind of holding back or staying stuck or rutted in older energy. So yeah, lots to think about today, but maybe it's about not thinking, right? Mercury's in retrograde, so it pulls our mind and our intuition inward, or our mind, excuse me, and our communication inward. So listening to the inner voice is more powerful right now than really listening to the mind. So remember, Mercury brings us backwards or inwards. So what does your intuition say? Does it say let go and move forward? Or is it telling you? Maybe it is telling you that you're someone who moves forward too fast and it's time for you to stay and consider a little bit before you make the next move. All of that is sort of up to you and how it is that the energy plays out in your own chart. By the way, if you guys have any questions, go ahead and put those down here in the chat and I'll take a look at those. Good morning, Catherine and Ann Stevens. And Amy Moore says, sounds good. I need a break from my mind. It's interesting because this week I start a book study with a group of people. Some of you are in the morning show, I see sometimes too. So it is called The Psyche, Understanding the Psyche. And it's right. I had to totally let go of my mind as I've been reading these chapters, because if I try to do it with my mind, I get lost. But if I stepped out of my mind a bit, I could understand it on a, it's a very weird thing to say, if you step out of your mind, that you can understand the words, because we equate words with mind, functions. But I got to tell you, I had to step outside of my mind, because when I did, I could understand. When I was in it, I was trying to get to every word and seeing what every word meant. Whoo! And there was just no way. And I think the author, on some level, whether it was subliminal or right out, she was overtly trying to do this, wrote it multidimensionally, in that there were times she's speaking from the more highly spiritual, conscious, unconscious or subconscious mind. And other times she was writing to the conscious mind. It's pretty amazing when you see that, and you can stop yourself from getting drug into old patterns that way, even in how we process information and being able to see things in a different way or to process things differently. And that's kind of magical, I think. So maybe we even could look at the week as potentially magical and mystical. Now, if we look at the week ahead in terms of other energies, there are a couple of bumps along the way. One begins to develop today, actually becomes more exact tomorrow, and that is Mars squaring Pluto. Ooh, Mars squaring Pluto. They're both the rulers of the sign of Scorpio. That's been responsible for digging up old emotions and hurts and grievances. It has been the exposer of secrets and the whistleblower energy that we've been seeing out there in the outer world, and things coming up from the surface, and then people responding to that with the scorpion sting instead of rising up to the higher level and being able to see like the eagle across the perceptions, looking from a higher perspective to see what things mean. So I would say that likely in the collective, there will be a ripple of power struggles going on through the week. And it might rise and fall at various times. I think tomorrow it comes to a sort of crescendo. And what's new there, right? What's new? Because that's been going on. We've been seeing that decay of our governments, the decay of the relationships between along parties, along ideologies, and all of that decay is having to leave in order to be reborn again and regenerated. So we as individuals are the ones responsible for the regeneration part, while the universe is doing its part to let go, help us to let go or to decay and degenerate the energies that have already been on this planet. Mars squaring Pluto, just another hallmark along the way, a power struggle developing between, in our country, different branches of the government, the political parties here in other, in whatever countries you're in, I bet you're seeing the same thing where there's these struggles that are developing, power struggles. It's going to be a little bit louder as we get through the week, but we don't have to devolve into that as individuals. However, some of you as individuals may experience power struggles either as a continuation of one that's already been developing in your own personal life or something new that may be developing. So again, it's about how you respond to what is showing up in your world, not that you're being triggered. So being aware of that and choosing what you say or what you do or whether or if you do or say anything is the most important part. Not that you've been triggered, but how you respond. So remember that in the heat of the moment this week. Venus is also moving in toward a quincunx to the planet Uranus. This affects our relationships, our money, and our values. And a quincunx, remember, is a 150-degree angle, also called an inconjunct. That angle is between signs that have no understanding of one another. There's no common ground. So in order to find common ground, we have to shift and we have to let go of and surrender some of our old beliefs, or we have to in some way adapt and be, you know, be a little bit more compromising, not to be compromised, but to compromise in order to get along, to be able to see a little bit better about the other person's point of view or where they're coming from. You're not having to give up anything. It's not about you. And you know, we think that each time we have to move through something like this, that we, especially because this plays out in our relationships, that we're giving up something. But instead, take a look at it as in you're not giving up a part of who you are. You're just changing, you're enabling a little bit of a new vision, right? Of a new way of being, of something different, broadening, if you will, your vision so that you can see with a wider lens. Right? When you see with a wider lens, you can see, wow, maybe their background has them conditioned. Maybe they haven't really done much inner work on themselves. So we can bring empathy and compassion to our interactions. But if we try to stay a hard line, if we try to stay in that energy of friction, then we're doomed sort of to keep repeating these same things over and over again. So I would dare say this week gives us a dose of being able to color outside of the lines, see things in a different way, and elevate our thinking to more of the compassionate, empathic sort of energies rather than, you know, being down in the ugly defensive energies. Let's see. Also looking at the week ahead on the 8th, which is Friday. Wow. So Friday, we have the third of three connections between the planet Saturn and in a sextile to Neptune. And that day on Friday actually has so much going on. I'll have to break it down day by day this week as we go on. But suffice it to say that Saturn in a sextile to Neptune has been changing our awareness of who we really are. Of, you know, we think that because we have boundaries here, we have skin and bones and teeth and hair and, you know, this body, that that's all we are. We have some kind of notion that there's a soul or that we have something that is animating us from within. But what this particular transit has been bringing us to is that there is no dividing line between the two. You are spirit in a body. You are a body with a spirit. And that the more that we embrace that and make it a foundation of who we are, the more success we will have, especially as we move forward into these more trying months ahead of us. So the third of three, bringing us to that energy. And then on the 9th Saturday, this planet Mercury in retrograde sextiles Pluto, maybe smoothing over some of those power struggle energies from earlier in the week, helping us to see the right and perfectness of everything that's been going on. So while I think the week is not such a, you know, up and down sort of week, it's more of a rise and a fall. I don't think it's a bad week at all. I think it's about how you respond to what is showing up, i.e. in the outer world, but also how you're taking that in and using that energy from within. Hope that makes sense for everybody. Let's take a look and see if anybody's got questions. Good morning, K. Don Goodwin. Any thoughts on how void moon tomorrow will impact nationwide elections? Yeah, I do have thoughts about that. First of all, the moon, to speak to what you're talking about, the moon turns void, of course, at 6:37 a.m. my time, so 9:37 a.m. for you all on the East Coast, and is void until 3:05 p.m. West Coast time, and 6:05 p.m. for you all on the East Coast, so about a 12-hour time where the moon is void, of course. When the moon is void, of course, what does it do? Right, it takes us inward. It makes us look within. Instead of just tying into the field of noise that we have out there and voting in that reactive, knee-jerk manner, we can take the time to consider what our votes are really in, are meaning for us. For example, some states, like in our state, we've already voted, right? Our votes, our ballots, excuse me, are due on Tuesday, tomorrow. But we've had the last couple of weeks to actually make our voices heard in that we have mail-in or drop-off ballots, kind of like absentee ballots used to be. We don't go to polling places or anything like that. At least I believe the whole state is like that. In my county, for sure, it's like that. And so the tale is already told in this state, but other states, you may actually have to go to polling places and do that. So what I would say to all of you would be to vote with your conscience, right? That's what the moon is taking you to. Vote with your conscience. What makes sense from an internal evolutionary prospect as opposed to the field of noise that's in the outer world? And I think people will be able to see that more closely. They're going to be able to vote with their hearts and with their souls more and not with just the mind, which has been quite noisy of late, right? So I think it bodes well for the election. And the moon does not move into Pisces until after 3:08 p.m. or 6:08 p.m. So we still have that unique signature of Aquarius energy for most of the voting times, right? It'll be like maybe the last couple of hours of the voting of the polls being open where it'll be in Pisces. So I would say, you know, for the bulk of the time, people might be looking at things in new and intriguing ways, and that the vote may turn out different than what the expectations are. You know, much like Most of us felt gobsmacked at the end of 2016 when the election went to Trump. I think people may feel that way. Some of the expectations that people have around this, you know, this minor election, if you will, they may feel a little bit surprised about how people are voting. And in fact, it may be sort of the harbinger of things to come, right? We have another election 1 year just about from today that will really have some true meaning and teeth in it. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm really looking forward to the results to see how people are responding. Are they responding or are they reacting? So interesting. I hope that answers your question, Dawn. I know you're in an election. I think it's the dark horses that win, or the, I don't want to call them dark horses. What is the other, the unexpected, the underdogs might just be the ones that pop out into the field as winners this election. Amy Moore, that makes perfect sense to me. I always feel I understand far more than I can articulate. I know. Londa says, I see it as we are all on different soul levels. Our consciousness is different than others. It's not a level of comparison. It's just everyone is on a different path. Some on a path of mastery. I would say everyone is on a path of mastery, but it may be what you're mastering is different than others. And, you know, there's different levels of mastery, right? If you play any kind of video game, you know, you can't go to the next level till you beat the boss at the end of the first of the level before. So it still shows a level of mastery when you've moved through that level and you are moved up to the next level. So we are all on that kind of energy. And Londa, good point. It allows us to step back and not judge one another. Love that. Colleen says, we have to go to the polls in New Jersey. I love that we do not have to do that here. Lisa Kenny says, like swells in the ocean. Oh, good one. I like that one, Lisa. And yeah, Amy Moore, overwhelming majority of American presidents were Aquarius sun sign. Fun fact. Here's another fun fact. The chart of the USA has the moon at 25, or is it 26? I think it's 25 degrees of Aquarius. No president has ever been elected that didn't have some kind of powerful connection to that 25 degree Aquarius moon. And so when you see candidates, one of the first things we look at candidates, like the Democratic field of candidates, is if we can get a correct chart for them, that we're looking to see, do they have a connection to that 25th degree of Aquarius, the Aquarius moon? Why? Because the moon in the chart of a nation is the people. Do they connect to the people? If they don't connect to the people, and they can make different connections to the people. If it's a Mars connection, maybe they make people mad or rile them up. If it's Venus, then they have a different effect. If it's the moon of the president or the candidate affecting the moon of the people, there's a synchronicity going on here. They have a synchronous consciousness. So it's interesting to see that. I mean, there are far more other things to look at in charts as we compare them. But looking at the moon is like the first thing, right? You could just draw that candidate almost out of the picture because they don't have a connection if they do not have a connection to that 25 degree Aquarius moon in the chart of the United States. And you could do that likely with other countries as well, wherever the moon is in the chart of any country that you're living in. And you can get the charts of countries quite easily. Just Google them. And the astrology of Spain, the astrology of England, the astrology of XYZ, right? You can get that and then likely get a chart. And if you're facing an election, or for England, for example, Brexit, what does that chart show around Brexit? What is the mood of the people in the chart of the British Empire or Britain or the UK? And how does that play out against the background of the people? So it is kind of an interesting way for us to look at what elections might do, especially with people, right? Who will be elected as the next president, etc. And anyway, that's about as far as I'm taking that one. I have other things I wanted to get to today. Now, I want to do quickly, not quickly, maybe. I want to switch gears here to the Pleiadian Earth energy. So you know that the Pleiadian Earth energy is also the calendar, but it's also an astrology book, Charting the Spirals of Consciousness by Pia Orlean and Cullen Baird Smith. And I absolutely enjoy this text. If you are so inclined, it's not that it's, this is not an astrology book that's meant for astrologers necessarily. I think almost anybody can really kind of understand it. And I kind of love that. But I also love that I can pick out depth in the book. So as I was looking at that book this morning, because I had extra time, I wanted to go to the book because today we move into the energy of four feeling. Four wasn't the part I was so interested in, but I was really interested in the feeling part. Feeling energy is Muluk in the Mayan calendar, and Muluk was the energy of emotion, water or rain. So it reflects two things to us. One, the energy of memory and emotion that water holds, and then it also evokes for us as individuals that we are also comprised of mainly water, and that we are then vessels that reflect emotion. And so let's talk about the feeling energy first, or Muluk. So much like regular astrology, we can often look to a planet that holds maybe rulership or sameness or equivalency with the energy from the Pleiadian calendar. And this has a very distinct moon influence, as you might imagine. Emotion, moon rules our emotions and our moods, etc. And as we are primarily water beings, we are affected by the tides on the planet itself, which is an exertion of the energy of the moon. And then more directly, we are also influenced by the actual moon on our own body. And we respond emotionally to the energies or the tides of the moon. Now, in this case, on this kind of day, often thought follows emotion. You feel an emotion. Let's just say something triggers you. Someone makes you angry. And from that emotion, now you begin this thought process, right? The thought process is, well, that person sucks. They make me mad. I don't like that person. They're ignorant. They're blah, 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 right? Blah, 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 blah. And so here we have to pay attention to our feeling state so that we have the energy to choose what it is that we want to think. Believe it or not, you choose your thoughts. How many of you thought of that? You're choosing in every moment what it is that you're thinking about. Now, some of those thoughts are coming up from the unconscious mind, right? So it might be the unconscious part of you that's doing the thinking. Based on old patterns, let's call it the subconscious mind, right? That is running a show. But you can also tap into that. And here is our opportunity to really choose what we want to think. If you're triggered by something, let's do it in the opposite. What if something that you win a game like Sunday, Saturday, right? Saturday and Sunday, both extraordinarily emotional days. I was running up and down the line, hugging all of these adults who I don't know from Adam, but it was such an emotional relief that the kids won the game that suddenly it brought us all together. And we were all in this with the kids and all in this as parents and grandparents or family members. Watching these kids, right? So the emotion took us away, right? The emotion took us away. We weren't really, I'm not sure that we were actually thinking about responding, because if I was thinking, I might not have been going up to people I don't know and hugging them. But we, in that moment, had that emotional reaction. The emotions carried us away. The same thing happens to us individually on any given day in any given situation. Do you get carried away by the emotion, or do you take the moment to respond, right? I may have still responded. If I thought about it, I would still have responded that way just because I'm a hugger. But some of the other people who I was hugging may not be huggers, and they may have been going, woo, who is this woman and why is she hugging me? But the idea here is that we have the opportunity to learn from our emotion. We are being affected all the time by the field of emotion. And today, this day, the feeling kind of day gives us an access to that. We get to change our inappropriate thoughts and our inappropriate beliefs and our inappropriate behaviors, because if we take the time, right, if we take that breath And we get to see what it is. It are we going to consciously respond to something, or is the emotion going to carry us away? Right. And often it is the case that emotion carries us away. Right. And if it's the emotion of joy, really no real harm done. But if it's the emotion of anger or confrontation or, you know, all of those kinds of more negative frequency emotions, a lot of harm comes. So we get to be very aware of that. Now the four, the number, is the universal energy of the day. So no matter what life form you are, no matter where you are in this universe of ours, we are resonating with the energy of four, which is the number that defines our reality. It is the boundaries and the limits and the physical, right? It's the very physical manifestation of this world. It is the very foundation energy. And so we, the foundation to what we have created. I could go so far with this, really. We could go so far with this, right? Because one of the things that I'm learning about in this book that we're reading are about these two frames. One's frame one, and then there's frame two. And these are frames of consciousness where our reality is arising out of our unconscious. And then in seconds, within minuscule of a second, the choice is made and it becomes conscious and visible in the world. So our reality, which we already know is not solid, right? We may think our desks are solid. We may think that, you know, we're pretty solid in the physical world. This microphone is pretty solid. But it isn't, right? It's made up of mostly space. And in that space, we are constantly choosing, both as a collective and personally, how things are going to show up in our world, right? What's the foundation going to be? What are the boundaries of reality? And the more that we, you know, begin to realize that we're co-creating this reality all the time, the more responsible we become. It goes deep, right? This takes us deep, and it takes us to like very difficult to understand territory. But this is where I was saying, as I was reading this book, on one level, my mind was in rebellion of it. It was like, oh my God, say that again, read that again, see that. What are those details again? What are those facts and figures again? But on the other hand, my beingness got it. And then that from my beingness, then trying to put it back into words was a little bit more difficult. Amy, the overwhelming majority. Oh, yeah. We talked about that. Colleen says, I hope our underdog doesn't win. 1950 is long gone, but he wants us to go back. No, thanks. Well, remember, too, the nature of Aquarius is always forward looking, right? It looks to the future. It takes the best from the past and builds a solid foundation so that we have something to move to in the future. So it's not that the underdog is favored, but let's just say if everybody is, there's not going to be any true foregone conclusions for any of these. Now, it also depends on the area you're in. If we took New Jersey's chart, Colleen, because you're in New Jersey, right? There's going to be influence there, you know, as far as the birth chart of that state and how that imbues the people, the residents, the voters of that state to vote, right? Because where's the moon for New Jersey? In the state of Washington, Washington state where I live is a Scorpio state. And so when things happen big in Scorpio, it is important on the, we end up seeing ourselves as important on the world stage. Some of the votes that we do, particularly environmentally, set the stage for what other states are going to do. That seems to be sort of the role that Washington state plays. California, big energies in that state. So your state has some kind of energy signature that flows into the state of the chart of the US, but then each of you as individuals who form the community or form the nation or the state, excuse me, of New Jersey also have energies that are sort of in confluence with the energies of the state and the energies of the country. So it's like being a piece of a tapestry and the tapestry being the part, a piece of a bigger quilt or a bigger picture. That makes sense. Colleen, my daughter got to register to vote on her 17th birthday, as her 18th will be after the deadline to register for 2020. It was exciting. Awesome. And good morning, Catherine, Lucas, Kathy Miller's joined us. Good morning. Okay, so nobody's making any comments about some of the things that we've been talking about. I know it's deep, and I know that it's hard to understand maybe, but maybe we just don't need to understand it. Maybe we just need to go with the flow of it. That would be even better. Just to, I guess the main message is to make sure you understand that you are also creating your reality. All right. So done with the astrology for the week. Let's take a look at something that jumped out at me this morning. I have the new human design chart for the week. We are still with the sun at gate 44, and that's where I'm going next to talk to you about the deeper meaning of the gate 44. Londa, so I'm glad to see you, because it was because of you that I did that, because of your question. So here we have our chart as it stands today. We are connected from the sacral to the spleen via the channel 5734. And then we also have a connection in the head to the ajna via the 6124, which is the channel of rational thinking and kind of part of, well, the shadow. Remember, at the gate 61 is psychosis. So we have some difficult energies going on between the head centers, but I wanted to talk about the connection, the lower connection here, this, you know, the center of the, I mean, the sacral connected to the spleen. You know, for those of you who are projectors, manifestors, and reflectors, projectors, and manifestors, you now have this defined sacral. And it's defined through this channel called the channel of power. And all of this is in a stream of energy, a circuit of energy in a human design chart that's called the stream of self-awareness. So we are becoming awakened to the self. And a part of that awakening, as it would have us look at right now, is about power. Remember I said earlier that Mars squares Pluto tomorrow. We're building up to really looking at power, power struggles, etc., and our self-awareness about how the energy of power plays out. Now, these streams and these channels also have a hologram associated with them. So when we look at a gate, we look at it through the shadow, the gift, and the city. Well, these channels also have that same kind of hologram, where we can see the shadow, we can see the gift, and we can see the siddhi. So in the channel of power, the lowest expression, the shadow energy is brutality, right? Brutality. And, you know, we see that all over, you know, the country with shootings. We see that in other countries with the way they treat, you know, people, the other, right? Tribe against tribe. And so we are definitely still working this shadow. We have not completely awakened. We have not completely come to self-awareness, because we still are seeing in the field around the planet this energy of brutality. But brutality moves us up to power. The gift is power. And what does that mean, right? What is power? So we are, these are contemplations in terms of what does it mean to have power, to be in power, to be powerful. And then in the highest expression, the siddhi is essence. And if I had time today, I would take a look and we'd go through some of those words and really look at them. But suffice it to say, this is an organizing principle about your energy. How you move through your world, through your life, is based on self-awareness. The sacral, the red, this is the center for its vitality, life force energy, right? This is the basis for what you do. If we look at this, this is your human doing center. It is the center that organizes your energy, your action. And it is connected up to the center for time, intuition, health, but also, as we've been diving deeper into the spleen for the last several weeks, it is also the field of fear every one of these gates on this particular center doubles as the potential for the expression of fear and or the expression of paralysis, where we can't take a step forward. We can't move out of an old pattern. We're caught up in the fear field. So what we have here then is self-awareness that is channeling our action, our doing in new, perhaps more powerful ways that exclude brutality and force, but sanction things of seeing people in their essence, right? Going to the heart of something. The heart of your power is not in the expression of brutality or force, but in the expression of love. These are things that we are grappling with here in the moment as we look at this particular setup in the chart. Now, the planet Mars, let me see if I can color this in that you guys can see. The planet Mars tomorrow will move into the gate 32. Also a fear gate. And here's 32. Mars will move here tomorrow and begin a process of completing this channel of success and failure, transformation. This whole channel is called the channel of transformation. And it, what it does is it begins in the gate of enlightenment, and or we could say the gate of goals and aspirations or hopes. This begins our hero's journey. And I suggest we begin our hero's journey, or with the next leg of our hero's journey, our quest, in a new way, releasing our attachment to brutality and moving on up into what is it really that we mean by power? What does that mean for us? So we'll have time to consider that. Mars will be here for several days, and we'll take a look at that deeper as we go on through the week. Now, today and tomorrow are the final 2 days that the Sun and Earth will be at the gate 44 and the Earth at the gate 24. So this is the gene key 44. Let me get my little chart out and show you guys where that was, because I forgot to show it to you. Here's 44 right here. And it moves over toward the ego center, right? And if it meets up with the gate 26, then this is the channel of integrity. And this particular gate, gate 44, where the Sun is sitting, is called the gate of karmic relationships. Interesting, right? When we look at the gates or the gene keys, when we look at gene keys, we see them in a deeper, more holographic, more dimensional way. We don't just see them as flat. We don't see them as just a gate expressing a certain energy. We see them more as a hologram. And all of the gene keys are arranged in codon rings. We bring this up periodically, right? We talk about the codon ring. And this particular gate is part of the codon ring. You guys are going to love this, called the Ring of the Illuminati. Literally the Ring of the Enlightened Ones, right? So I want to read this to you because by the way, you can get these right off of the Gene Key Society pages. Maybe someday I'll show you, we'll do a Zoom someday, I can show you where that is. The Ring of the Illuminati is uniquely coded with the harmonic geometries of our higher evolutions. As this codon awakens throughout the human genome, the higher subtle bodies of humankind will self-organize into potent and coherent formations of awakening beings. This higher social harmony will progressively reveal itself as human beings move beyond the domain of shadow consciousness and realize the harmonic blueprint that underlies all human civilization. Humanity has always sensed the presence of the Illuminati, or chosen ones. We have woven them into our legends, dreams, and even our conspiracy theories. Commonly misunderstood, the Illuminati refers to a higher evolution of celestial beings or ascended masters who are not separate from us, but are our higher nature personified. We now live in the time of the gathering of the Illuminati, a time of unprecedented planetary change where its fields of harmony draws us in and gradually transforms our cellular DNA into its highest mode of functioning. I can almost hear you guys out there thinking about that one. I can almost hear the conspiracy theorists out there screaming, no, no, that can't be true. The Illuminati are bad. I can almost hear it. But remember, we're here to turn things upside down this week. We're turning things upside down. We're turning them up on their head. Now, if we look at the codon ring and we look at the stream of consciousness that the Gate 44 puts us in, it is in the stream of cooperation. It puts us in a how are we going to work together kind of energy? How do we organize ourselves? In the gene key, it is the lowest energy in the shadow of interference. It is teamwork in its gift, and it is synarchy in its highest expression. We live right now in what we've created, which is hierarchy, and we resonate to hierarchy at the moment. And the interference that we get from hierarchy puts us in a position of always struggling, right? We're always struggling against the leaders, leaders who can grab power and move us away from what is encoded in our DNA, which is democracy, equal voices, right? I'm not talking about democracy as a form of government necessarily, but the idea of equal voices, equality in how we get to be expressed. So this is the stream of cooperation. The channel that would be created here is the transmission channel, right? What are we transmitting? It is the energy of alchemy, where transformation and transmission combine to alchemize change or to create change in the planet. And it begins in what we call human fractal energy. So fractals are repetition of patterns that repeat themselves holographically. I don't know if you can see it. I bet you cannot. No, you cannot, because my printer didn't print it that finely. But this background is a repeating fractal. There's a repeating pattern in here. And I know you can't see it, but it's there. Trust me, because I can see it here. And you can certainly see it when you're on the page. Of repeating patterns, right? And those repeating patterns then also form bigger patterns that repeat. So it's like seeing, have you guys ever heard of the H pattern, where you just draw a bunch of H's? By the time you're done, though, you've got four big H's in a square, let's say, but it's made up of maybe, I don't know, however many, 64 maybe H's in each quadrant. And then if you stand back and you look at it bigger, it's one big H, where the big H and the middle size H's and the little H's are all the same. They're just fractals of one another. They contain the same parts, right? So human fractals then are about our relationships, our karmic ties to one another. So the Gate 44 shows us what it is that our human fractal is. Have you ever noticed that you tend to draw certain types of people to you? Every person that you meet in your lifetime, in this life, is a part of the fractal pattern of your destiny. There's no mistake that the people that join me here in the morning are here, right? There's no mistake that we're drawn together, because every person that I meet, whether I'm meeting you in person or I'm meeting you on air, or you're meeting other people in your lives in person, or you are there, you know, they might be the friend of a friend that you maybe one step removed, but they're a part of the fractal pattern of your destiny, right? So fractal images show repeating holographic lines and patterns. That was the definition I was looking for. Wherever you go in the image or the fractal, it's the same and it's repeated, right? Into infinitely repeated. In the cosmic geometry, then, of our human relationships, we will always draw relationships to us that teach us exactly what we need to know or to use to evolve our consciousness and our conscious awareness. Let me say that again. You will always draw relationships to you that teach you exactly what you need to know in order to evolve your current awareness. The Gate 44 shows us those karmic connections. The meaning is that those people closest to you hold the secret to your destiny. They hold the secret to your power and to your higher life purpose. Whether you like them or not, whether you have great relationships with them or not, they hold the key. And as you learn from each of those relationships and master the lessons, your frequency increases or changes, heightens, and you attract then higher frequency individuals to you, right? The fractal begins to change a little and people with more awareness come to you or you come to know them. That's the very basis of then the Gene Key 44 is about our karmic relationships with one another. Is everybody getting this? Colleen, yeah, look up New Jersey's chart. Dude. Laura says, I love when you bring new ideas forward. There are so many dimensions of the unknown that are opening up to us. Thank you for sharing all of your knowledge. You are so welcome, Laura. And thank you for saying that, because sometimes I feel like I get way out there. I see things so differently. I think it's because my Jupiter sits in Aquarius. And Londa, you're, you know, anybody born around the 60s, like 60, 61, 62, maybe even, you had a lot going, we had a lot going on in Aquarius. And so we do tend to see things differently, maybe not necessarily correctly. I don't want to say that, but definitely we have that tendency to help people see things differently. Let's put it that way. Now, let's start to break the shadow energy down, right? We want to break down the shadows. And we talk about the shadows because we want to break them down. And we want to break them down so that they will transform into the gift levels, right? So when we are focusing on the shadow, it's not that I'm saying, let's put more energy there. It's that let's recognize it so that we can release it to transform or transfigure into a different energy, right? Let's move it. The shadow energy in karmic relationships is interference. In the I Ching, by the way, this particular gene key or gate or hexagram, depending on the system you're using here, is called coming to meet. It's about how and why and when people meet each other, as well as the results of the group and family dynamics that you're a part of. So here in this particular hexagram, gate, etc., hold on, I'm talking too much. I got to watch the time. Here we need to look at humans as cells of a larger organism. And it appears through the shadow that there is a master program operating through us. The shadow of interference is like a virus that is operating within the program that throws the collective choreography, that's Richard Rudd's word, by the way, not mine, out of sync. So it is like a virus operating within the program, throwing the collective out of sync. And we see this through dysfunctional families, businesses out there in the world creating imbalances, governments with inappropriate leadership teams, global chaos. When we see that out there, it kind of shows us that interference pattern. But, dot, 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 the program isn't wrong. It is not incorrect. That all of that chaos that we're seeing out there in our world around us, the division, the polarization, the he said, she said, all of that chaos is a diagnostic tool, right? Built into the program, a diagnostic tool that seeks out the dysfunction in order to reboot the system, if you will, to use computer language. Right? You can't, if we don't find the virus, if we don't highlight it, we don't see it, and we can't change it. We can't fix it. We can't reboot the system. So this, though, is not a top-down process. It begins with the individual, you as an individual, and moves up. I mean, if that doesn't put you on your head, I don't know what will. Because right now, we look at our outer world and we see all this chaos, we see all this division, we see all this stuff going on out there, and we think, I can't make a difference. I can't change that. I can't affect that. But this would seem to suggest that you do. right? That in fact, the dysfunction cannot change via the group, it changes via the individual. And then groups of individuals who come together having changed their own thoughts about this dysfunction and their own response to this dysfunction then create the group or the tribe changing, then creates the nation changing, then creates the world changing. So interference here ensures that we find the right relationships or the right issues so that we can heal the dysfunction that we personally are a part of, right? Our genetic baggage, our ancestral baggage, our ancestral lineage, it highlights for us the stuff, the interference patterns that were transferred through your DNA, which are really about relationships then being transgenetic and karmic. Meaning that we're carrying this lineage, we carry this genetic stuff, and we as the individual, because we are awakening, have the power to change it through our relationships. Our relationships then are designed to clear out the dysfunction because we see it. It's a mirror. We see it in our faces, right? It's not that, you know, anybody out there that irritates you. Let's say you're having a problem with your spouse and what you see out there, we talk about mirrors all the time here. You're not just clearing, you know, what's going on between you and that person, but you're clearing your own dysfunction. In the mirror, you never see the other person's dysfunction. You're seeing your own. And until couples, partners, and, you know, groups of people together are ready to clear, are willing to clear the dysfunction, we're going to keep repeating it. So we have to come together, clear it for everyone, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to clear the ancestral line. So those of you who are carrying the gate 44 in your DNA, defined, you all have it. Some of you have it defined, others of you have it open. Right now, everybody has it defined while the sun sits there. And we're here to clear out the interference patterns. That's it for me for today. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at the gate 44. It's the last day of the gate 44. We'll take a look at the gift of teamwork and its connection to smell. That'll be fun, right? Smell. You smell the people around you that are correct. There's a sense of smell involved in the people that you are around. Okay. If any of you have any questions, you can still go to my website, www.living-astrology.com. You can, up at the very top, it says janet@living-astrology.com. That's my email for my business. You can reach out and send me questions through that. I'll be happy to discuss them with you or bring it here to the show for everybody to be able to understand things more deeply. That's it for me today. I hope all of you have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time. Have a great one. Bye for now, everybody.